Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Brendan Escott with you this evening. It's 5:33 in Edmonton, and you know that some guests of this show do receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Tell Chris and Chef Althoff that Oilers Now sent you. So Austin Matthews doesn't seem to think this is really a rivalry. He says, you media members, you make it all up. You're trying to make something personal that isn't personal. And I'd like to know what you think about that. Is this personal, or are we just, you know, we're up to our old tricks, us paid off Trudeau hacks over here. We're making stuff up for our own gain. I don't know. Because once upon a time in the 80s, hockey players didn't like each other. And I know that it's a lot different now, but to me, it means something for people born in Ontario that play for the Oilers to go back to Ontario and represent the Oilers there. It just kind of makes sense. But anyway, I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole. Let's instead engage with our daily face-off, Frank Saravalli, as we do twice a week for Horse Racing Alberta. Racing returns on May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more, go to thehorses.com. Frank, always appreciate your time on a Friday evening. How's it going?
Pretty good, Brendan. I would tend to agree with Austin Matthews to just finish off that point. Maybe if they played in the same division, if we had the COVID Canada division, the North division, I would say maybe, you know, there'd be something to that. But, you know, aside from some increased eyeballs potentially, I don't know that these two teams have a healthy hate for each other. And certainly I don't, you know, maybe the best players in the league get geared up to go up against each other, but I think that's regardless of uniform they're wearing.
That's fair to say. And I think that Edmonton's hottest rivals are the teams that they've played in the playoffs the last couple of years, being Los Angeles and Vegas, right? So that's an easy line to draw there. It's an Oilers team that has been getting it done, not necessarily always in a pretty fashion, but points in 11 of 12. We'll get to that in a second, though, Frank. Let's talk first about them signing a couple of off-the-radar players in the goaltender Connor Unger out of Brock University here in Canada, and then James Steffen, whose family lineage needs no introduction, but the player himself, bit of a surprise as a 100-point guy or about to be in the Western League. This philosophy, not something that we've always seen with Edmonton, but I think it's got people here excited.
It should. I mean, look, I view these types of players that are undrafted as lottery tickets. If you can have even one of the 10 that you sign contributing to your team at some point, or a rotating cast of them, call-ups, regular roster spots, doesn't really matter what it is, that's a huge bonus. It's, you know, one more piece of the puzzle that you're able to put together without having to give up any assets to get them. And that's huge. The Oilers, I can't speak to the past, but I can probably give you some insight into the thought process of the future. And it's probably pretty similar along the lines of what I was saying in terms of trying to mine these players regardless of where they come from. You have to do a few things. One, you have to invest in the time to scout these players. And I know that that's certainly been a higher priority. I can tell you, especially on the college free agent front, the Oilers are going to be or expected to be active on that front. And two, you have to be a place that players want to go. And Edmonton, because of the winning culture that they've developed, it's become that place in the league that players are, hey, you know, I have an opportunity, whether it's development camp or training camp or whatever it might be, to share ice in a locker room with Connor McDavid. I mean, that becomes a huge feature and selling point. So that part of it, I think, has really captured everyone's attention. And I'd just like to see the Oilers, like many other teams, develop a philosophy that's really, you know, in line with the way Carolina thinks. You know, there is a limit in terms of 50 contracts that you can have signed at any one time. And the reserve list limit is north of that at 90. Go look at Carolina and how aggressive they are in stockpiling sheer numbers of picks. Look how many guys that are on their reserve list. What does that mean at the end of it in terms of full perspective? It means in a trade to get Jake Guentzel, you can give up your 7th, 8th, and 9th best prospects, depending on how you rate your list, because you have flexibility and you've been, you know, just throwing these guys in the pile. That at times in the NHL, I think prospect evaluation is pretty poor. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and the more you have, the more options and opportunity you have.
Really great breakdown of that, Frank. Thank you. So we look at this team that's playing in the moment, right? And these are players that we think are going to stock the shelves for a later time. But this group, as it's structured right now, points at 11 of 12. They are rolling possibly towards a division title if they can get some breaks and take care of their own business. And they're doing it while sort of feeling out exactly some line combinations and things that they're going to like or potentially deploy, I suppose, in the playoffs. So let me get your thoughts on looking at Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, and how Kane's performed since being nudged up there the last couple of games.
Yeah, you know, I think just looking at Kane from an overall perspective, like, it's really been an up and down year. You know, I look at his capability and his aggression when he's on. Like, I think he's one of the premier power forwards in the league that has a finishing ability like few others. And I can't help but think back to last year in the playoffs, you know, since we're at the macro level, of how tough it was for the Oilers when Kane and Hyman were hurt. I mean, those guys banged up. Yeah, they're playing, but when they're not at the top of their game, it's a noticeable difference for the Oilers. And so for Kane, I want to continue to see consistency. When he's on, he's special, and when he's not, he's very average. And you can almost lose him at times throughout the course of the game, and he's not noticeable. So I think it's trending in the right direction. And the important part, Brendan, as you know, is timing. You know, you got to hit it at the right time of year. A lot of people will forget the up and down nature of your season if you show up when it matters most.
Adam Henrik playing with Nugent Hopkins and Corey Perry last night. That's an intriguing trio there with the amount of hockey sense you've got mashed together. And I just want to highlight Corey Perry's play from inside maybe a 4-foot radius of the net. But even really, if you want to go face-off circles and down, like, he is an elite offensive talent. And watching him get his stick on pucks and that sort of thing, he can be a real difference maker even at his age, Frank. I that's how I've seen him play and impact this game so far, but I wonder what you thought of him on that line last night too.
Well, there's a reason why his nickname is the Worm. He's able to find different areas on the ice and worm his way in there. And it's said with all due respect and affection, he's a total pain in the arse to play against. And there's never a shift. There's never a moment that he's not engaged. He's got skill that's off the charts, and he's able to make things happen in tight areas with little time and space that he's in the top 5 to 10% in the league in that category. And that's, to me, where playoff series are won and lost, is right there in front of the net. And he's so good at it. It's a big reason why the Oilers went out and pushed to bring him in. And you're right. It's not just experience, but on that line in general, the hockey sense is off the charts, almost to the point where I'd like to see it sprinkled around a little bit. You know, that line, certainly not the fastest line. And, you know, you look at Perry at his age. Henrique is definitely not a burner. I think the thought process is intriguing in terms of plugging the three of them together. But I think they're probably better off in the long run, the three of them being sprinkled on different lines, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And we're chatting with Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli right now on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Don't miss Charlie Crockett live at the River Cree Saturday, May 25th. Get your tickets now at rivercreeresort.com. We're looking at Troy Stetcher thrust into action in the absence of Vinny Desharnais. I've seen some turnovers and I've seen some, you know, pretty reasonable play, and a guy whose ceiling we know is not high, but a player who is serviceable and comes with NHL experience, maybe come playoff time if required. I'll ask, you know, sort of seeing him play in Edmonton alongside Nurse, no less, the last couple of games, your initial impressions?
My initial impression after seeing the tweet that the Oilers put out, I think after the game the other night, with him in the locker room post game with Ekholm and Perry, the dude doesn't have an ounce of body fat. I'm extremely jealous, first off. He's shredded, and I would recommend, like, at some point, please mix in a burger. He looks great.
I noticed that in the dressing room. I'm glad you say that. I turned around. I'm like, holy smokes, who is that?
If you haven't seen the picture, like, seriously, go find it on the Oilers feed, because that's not a six-pack. It looks like an eight-pack. So definitely impressive. Tarp off post game. I'd never put a shirt on if that's what I looked like. Instead, I'm the guy last week getting a little sun, rocking the old swim shirt like an old man. But that's fine. In terms of his play, in all seriousness, I think he's a no maintenance addition, and I think he's the perfect insurance. He's played in the playoffs. He has experience in this league, and he's one of those guys that at his price point, year after year, he's overlooked. He doesn't cost much to acquire. He doesn't make much on the cap. He's not really treated with much respect in terms of, you know, being a valuable or sought after asset. But then he gets to your team and he's plugged into the lineup, and you can kind of like set it and forget it. He's not really super noticeable in terms of making, you know, significant plays, but he's not really often in trouble either. And that's a huge part of, you know, being that guy that is probably going to be counted on to be number seven when it comes to the postseason. He doesn't have the size that I think the Oilers would love on their back end, but when you get to, you know, the late stages of hopefully for the Oilers a 2-month playoff run, the Oilers have been incredibly lucky this year in terms of the health of their defensemen. Games played by top four guys, they're among the league leaders. So you hope and knock on wood that you don't have any issues when it comes to your lineup the longer the playoffs go on, but that's far from a guarantee when it comes to playoff hockey. And to have someone like Stetcher waiting in the wings, I view that as a real positive. And when Ken Holland was shopping for depth defensemen, it'd be easy to overpay for someone else that might have a different, you know, name on the back of the jersey or different, you know, sort of reputation. But I think Stetcher is just fine.
So let's take a peek at Toronto because, okay, well, fine, they're not rivals, but it's still going to be a really good one on Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night, or on 6:30 mm-hmm. Chet, if you so choose, at 5 o'clock. But tell me what we're getting with a team that is not working with Mitch Marner's services right now. They did make quite a few moves to shore up the defense at the trade deadline. But tell me what we've missed since that encounter on January 16th.
You've missed one of the more consistent teams in the league. They've been really good also since the Morgan Riley suspension. That, to me, was the turning point in their year. And I don't know why it is sometimes that teams need to face some serious adversity, whether you think about the Panthers last year and getting called out by Big Walt, Keith Kachuk on radio, or you think about the Leafs losing their top defenseman for a five-game stretch for a suspension that they were really angry about. It seems like that's been their rallying cry, and they've been pretty detailed. They have been hardworking beyond, I think, their norm. And look, I think they've got holes and thin areas in their lineup. You mentioned defense. I still, I don't think they did much to improve it at the deadline. They brought in, I think, barely above replacement level defensemen that, aren't going to be huge impact pieces. But, going back to what we were talking about with Stetcher, like, you need additional help and support in your lineup. And we know they have the firepower. But for me, all season long with the Leafs, my big question has been attention to detail. And they've played with a lot more of that of late.
So you mentioned one suspension. We'd better get Frank's thoughts on another. It's Tom Wilson again in the Situation Room with George Parros, the wrong kind of Situation Room. Six games. He looked apologetic to me immediately as this happened, though the act itself was very intentional. So Wilson gets six games, and how much of that do you think had to do with the preceding track record?
97% of it. I mean, when you're Tom Wilson and you have that kind of rap sheet, you lose all benefit of the doubt. And look, part of that is human, nature and reaction to seem apologetic. Lots of times people do things in the heat of the moment that they otherwise never would have done. Still don't really understand it. It was a sequence that didn't make a ton of sense. And it was careless. One thing that players have complete 100% control of is their stick. And to make that type of play, and on an Edmonton native, no less than Noah Gregor, it was just unnecessary. And it seemed like it was born out of frustration. And six games for someone that has that kind of history and carelessness, I think that makes sense.
John Tortorella, I'm sort of baffled because I just don't know, as somebody who's, I'm 29 years old. I don't want to play hockey for somebody who treats people like that. I don't know anybody who would want to do anything for someone who treats people like that. And it's one thing for it to be directed at a younger player. He's making an example out of somebody that they've named a captain. And if you've missed this, Sean Couturier benched by Tortorella, and then refusing to talk about it in the media. I know this drives you nuts too, but I don't know sort of how Sean Couturier is going to proceed with an organization that he worked very hard to get back to be a member of.
Well, I'd imagine first off that cooler heads will prevail. So that's one part of it. And when I sent out that tweet yesterday, sort of decrying the accountability factor of this, it wasn't from a media perspective and answering questions. It's actually from just the way that he continues to treat players. And look at what Sean Couturier, who, for lack of a better phrase, has a Flyers logo tattooed on his arse, and look at what he said, that, he feels like he isn't being treated right. And then listen to his agent, who says that he's basically been ignored and not told anything. I don't think that's appropriate. I think players deserve more. I think players of that ilk deserve, and your captain deserve even more than that. Because not everyone's treated equal, and that's life.
Well, you don't want to take away a guy's ability to coach, but at the same time, this is the kind of thing that we're trying to cleanse the game of, right? This power imbalance, this is sort of
I think that part's too far. I would say the coach has the ultimate power to make his lineup card, but you sent the message once, fine. Everyone hears it. You win the game, okay, sure. But the second time when Couturier, you know, I know that he had, you know, missed a couple years, but this guy won a Selke trophy. Does anyone think that the Flyers lineup is actually better with him not in it? I don't know how you could possibly in good faith make that argument to that dressing room. And then you go through all that, and on the back end of it, play the game, you pick up a point, so you have 3 out of 4 points against the Leafs and Canes this week. Pretty good. But then you send your assistant coach out to answer questions? Like, it just, it felt like... It felt like a power trip in the sense that he heard everyone talking about it, sees the criticism from former players on social media, and is like sitting back and laughing, saying, oh, so they're mad the first time. Wait till they see when I do it again. And that part, I just, he's his own worst enemy. Like, he's going to cut his own tenure short doing things exactly like that in what has been otherwise one of the best coaching years that I think anyone could have, short of Rick Tocchet this season, taking a Flyers team that was rebuilding and taking them to the playoffs.
Never fails to entertain, sometimes for the right reasons and sometimes for the wrong ones. Frank, you're always entertaining us for the right reasons. Thank you again for your time.
Brendan, have a good night and a good weekend.
All right, you too. Frank Saravalli from Daily Faceoff. You can find his work online. You can find it on Twitter, most actively. And I can tell you as well that now is the time to secure your Oilers season seats for next season. Why not guarantee yourself access to this year's playoffs? Limited seats available, though, so become a registry member now at edmontonoilers.com/season seats. We'll step out momentarily, or for a moment, I should say, and we'll bring it back with some of your texts, all right?
One of the most unique things about Cougar Paint and Collision isn't just their family-first approach.
There's a lot of really unique stuff and memorabilia inside the shop. When people come in, we want them to feel at home because it's pretty stressful when you've had a car accident. So this way, you walk in and there's usually a dog and sometimes some treats. We've got everything from a signed guitar to pop bottles from Lebanon. People come to us and they'll bring us old things to put it on display, and we do. We just keep putting up more shelves.
Cougar Paint and Collision, our family helping your family.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
You are invited. Yes, you are invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia as you discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. Your 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise, some gourmet meals, fine wine, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions as you you sightsee, you spend some time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Book by March 31st, the end of the month, and save $1,300 per person. Full details at newwesttravel.com. To the Ashley Fine Floors text line, where RL has one side of this argument. He says, I agree with Austin Matthews. This is just another game tomorrow night. You media guys blow everything up, and it's absolutely ridiculous. There's 29 other teams, and they play every game the same. That's from RL. Another texter says, Brendan, you're getting way too fired up over this. No, I'm actually just drinking a bunch of coffee, and, or was, and now have a Red Bull. But I'm getting too fired up over this. Laughs Nation accomplishes two things. They never shut the hell up, one, and they fail in the playoffs and always will. So there's two very different ends of the spectrum. We will continue with your text messages in the next half hour for sure. But first, we're going to check in with the Edmonton Oil Kings. Director of Business Operations, Kevin Radomski, will tell us all about the success they've been having putting butts in seats. And that's thanks to you. We'll do that after a Global News weather traffic update with Thomas Dye.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.